and to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And I just want to tell you, on your mark, get set and go. We are ready for another week of victory, another week of adventure, another week of living by faith in the kingdom of God here in beautiful Brevard County. And I pray that you are doing well, that you had a great time of worship in the house of God this last weekend, and that you know that God has strategically positioned you to be a blessing here in Brevard County. He's equipped you, and he's accompanying you as you are a blessing to those around you. So today we are going to go in our scriptures to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Let me see. Yes, that's where it is. Confused myself there for just a moment. I'm got my Bible open there already, and it's like, wait a minute, did I get that right? And so Psalm 86 is where we are going to be. Again, this is not a very long psalm. This is a prayer of David. So I'm going to read the entire psalm for you. That way you get the appropriate context. Verse number 1 of Psalm 86 says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice, the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." So if you wanted to hear another passage the truth we're going to talk about in Psalm 86 is also conveyed, it is this in Psalm 117. Psalm 117, verse 2, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever." So what I want you to see is that God is rich and abundant in mercy and truth. So the partnership that we have been talking about, that when you seek truth, you find the things that you need. You find truth, you find mercy. So I want you to know, you don't find just a little bit. You find a whole bunch. You find more than enough. I don't know if you've ever gone looking in the fridge. Now that there are fewer people living in the house than have been in our household since very early in our marriage, because all of our kids are married, there's not as much in the refrigerator as there used to be. And I'm still the guy that goes to the refrigerator looking. And one of the things that we have done to, you know, minimize unhealthy eating is we don't have unhealthy things in the refrigerator. But it doesn't stop me from looking. It just means that when I go there, I don't find what I'm looking for. And, you know, you can stand there, you can bob your head, you can look over and over and over again. And if there's nothing there, you're not going to find what you're looking for. But when it comes to seeking God's truth, you're going to find the truth and the mercy that you need, and you are going to find it in abundance. There are no quantity restrictions on God's mercy and God's truth. If you remember, over the past couple of years, things started popping up in grocery stores and warehouse stores and things like that. Quantity limited. You can only buy a certain number of these, and it's because there was so much demand for it, and there was a limited supply. So today I want to talk to you about the God who is abundant in mercy and truth, who's rich in mercy and truth, and it's stacked, as it says here in Psalm 117, verse number 2, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. His merciful kindness is great toward us. Praise the Lord. So let's look at mercy in Psalm 86. In verse number 3, it says, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. So God's mercy is not just restricted to those who can't help themselves. Really, the truth of the scripture is that all of us are helpless to bring about our own salvation. It requires the mercy of God. And so here David says, you know, God, all day long I am crying out to you. And he makes this interesting statement here that's right after he's crying out for mercy. If you read it from the modern way that we would write something, it looks like something is missing. It says, rejoice the soul of your servant. Now, I want you to know that at this point in time, David is not speaking to his soul and saying, hey, rejoice, be happy, all, as if the soul was the source of that. Instead, this is still a cry out to God where he is saying, God, I need you to come and cause my soul to rejoice. And in other words, we are not our own source. God is the source. He is the source of our mercy. He is the source of our salvation. He is the source of our healing. He is the source of our hope. He is the source of truth. He is the source of our joy. And he says, for you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. So what we see in verse number 15, we see again here in verse number 5, that when we find truth, we also find that God is abundant in mercy. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, I believe the old song goes. It never grows stale. You know, again, with the absence of a number of people in our household, we don't have to prepare as much food. Some foods, I'm the only one who eats them. And when I say that, I mean, I don't eat a lot of it, but occasionally I will have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, they don't sell it by the slice. They sell it by the loaf. And so we do what we can to make sure that that bread stays fresh without staying moldy or without, turning into something that I wouldn't want to eat. So a lot of times I'd be saying, okay, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it's like, oh, well, we don't have jelly. Oh, well, we don't have bread. Oh, well, if I'm going to eat peanut butter and jelly, I'm going to need a glass of milk to wash that down with. And, By the way, I had so much peanut butter and jelly when I was growing up that I went decades without eating it again. It wasn't until maybe 15 years ago that I said, you know, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich would sound good. And so maybe once every 2 weeks or twice a month, something like that, I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you want to have everything that is there. And you want it to be fresh. You want it to be good. Another consequence, you might, if you've not been through the empty nest syndrome yet, it's different. It changes things up. And so we've got one of our children, actually there's two of our children that have serious organizational skills, and they're not afraid to use them. And so one of them, whenever they come to visit, they'll start going through our refrigerator. And before I know it, my trash dumpster is full just because they said, nope, that's too old. It needs to go. And it's like, it's not even to the expiration date. Doesn't matter. It needs to go. And then we're back at the grocery store again. God is abundant in mercy if we will just call on him. You do remember that he says, come boldly before the throne of grace, not out of ritualistic duty, but so that we can find help in our time of need. And God's mercy, it's his loving kindness, it's his tender mercies, it is partnered with truth, but it's because we need him. We need him. And so I heard a story one time. I'm not going to give away the details or anything like that. And a person was having a conversation, and they said, you need me. And they said, I don't need you. They said, no, you need me. And they said, I don't need you. And the person said, no, you need, K-N-E-E-D, you need me. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. It was an inadvertent thing that had happened. Today, I don't want you to K-N-E-E-D, God. I want you to realize how desperately we need N-E-E-D him. And the thing about that is, we didn't just need him the day that we got saved. We don't just need him. We don't just need his mercy whenever we get a bad report at the doctor. The thing about salvation is we realize that we need him, N-E-E-D, as much after serving him for decades. We still need him as much then as we did that first day that we first called on his name. So if you drop down to verse number 11, David writes, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore, for great is your mercy toward me. If you and I are going to recognize that we have a need for God's mercy, if we are going to call out to God for his mercy, then we need to respond to receiving his mercy the appropriate manner. And that is this: I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. This verse number 12, Psalm 86, and I will glorify your name forever. Okay. One of the things that people who don't praise in worship say, I didn't feel like praising him right then, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I want you to know that that's not the appropriate response. The appropriate response is not to praise God according to our feelings, but to praise him because of who he is and what he's done in our life. When you needed him, you cried out to him, you set aside things from your life, and God was merciful to you. He answered your cries, and here it says that because of that, I am going to praise him with everything I have inside of me. I am all in. I am going to praise him with all of my heart. I'm going to praise him with all of my soul, all of my might, and all of my strength. and I am going to do that. He says, I will glorify your name forevermore. Forevermore. So, you know, you could, David could have gone to his, you know, latter years and say, God, I just want to continue to praise you for what you did when I was a teenager. You showed mercy to me. There was a giant that I was facing that was more experienced than I was. He was bigger than I was. He was taller than I was. He was better equipped than I was in the natural. But God, you gave me the victory. God, I want to thank you for showing me mercy. And God, I don't want to ever lose the wonder of the mercy that you've shown in my life. That's what it looks like. He says, I'm going to be a person of praise. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. I'm going to do it forever because God's mercy is great towards me, and he has delivered my soul from the depths, if I can put it in the way that we would understand it, and he has delivered my soul from the depths of affliction, or from the depths of hell, or from the depths of exceedingly great affliction. I don't know about you, but that causes some praise. You know, I like to read news stories of people who do heroic things. Sometimes they're people that wear uniforms, sometimes they're not. I watched a video of a plane that had crashed. It was taking off. It crashed. It landed on railroad tracks. The pilot of the aircraft was injured and was unresponsive. And there were police that showed up. And it said that they managed to get the man out of the plane before the train came. And so you can look at that and you can think about that and say, oh, well, you know, maybe the train came by before the tow truck got there. And then you watch the video and you realize that these people pulled the pilot out about 1 to 2 seconds before the train obliterates that plane. There was a person that was taking video, and they were where the train was headed, and pieces of that aircraft just go flying up in the air, and these people go scattering, trying to avoid the debris. Other times it's car accidents that are where cars are on fire and they get people out right before the car explodes. And, you know, sometimes we see Hollywood and we realize that that's all scripted. But it happens in real life. And it happens in the spirit realm as well as the physical realm. Is there anybody that realizes that God has been merciful to you by delivering you from the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God? Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Verse number 14 says, God had delivered him, but that didn't stop the enemy. Lest you think that just because God has saved your soul that the enemy has stopped fighting, I take you from verse 13 to verse 14. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. So now we see that David had cried out for mercy, and because he had received mercy, because he had called upon God, that God was going to be the object and the recipient of David's fully involved praise and worship forevermore. He wasn't going to stop. And it says, in spite of that, that enemies had risen against him. Violent people had risen against him. They weren't looking for anything to appease them. They were looking for his life. And David said, you know what they haven't done? They have not set God before them. And so he said, they're trying to kill me. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Those are some pretty good partners. I don't know about you, but I think it would behoove us. I just love that word. It's an old word, but I just like that particular word. It would be to our benefit if we would seek truth, because we discover that God's compassion, God's grace, his patience, his mercy, and his truth. That's a pretty good entourage. That's a pretty good group of characters to come together. And he says, God, I want you to know that even though the enemy has gathered against me, that I still recognize that you are a God that is full of compassion. Too many times people think that opposition means that they just need to back off. They need to take the foot off the spiritual gas pedal. Many times it's the exact opposite of that. Many times that is the time to press forward and not press back or take your foot off the gas. God is gracious. God is long-suffering beyond description. And he's abundant in mercy and in truth. And so verse number 16, David says, oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. You know what he's crying out in verse number 16? The same thing that he cried out for in verse number 3. Be merciful to me, O Lord. And he says, oh, God, turn to me and have mercy on me. A few weeks ago, a week to 2 weeks ago, I guess it's about 2 weeks, Bob Saget died. He had been in Orlando, and he died. He was from the television sitcom called Full House back in the days, whatever time frame that was. And, you know, I don't remember that much about that show. I remember, you know, some of the cast members and things like that. But I remember that John Stamos' character would say this, have mercy. Have mercy. I remember that. Now, he wasn't saying that in a biblical sense. He was just talking about how overwhelmed he was at that particular time, and it just became a funny line. I remember the other guys, you know, cut it out and using hand signals and things like that. But maybe today you find yourself not at the beginning of your journey of faith, but more substantially down the road in your journey of faith. And maybe it's kind of slipped your mind that you can still cry out to God for mercy. And I want to encourage you. If you've never cried out for mercy, cry out for mercy. If you have discovered the abundant mercy and the abundant truth, compassion and patience and grace that God has for you, cry out to God again for mercy. You need it today as much as you did at any other point in your life. I will tell you, the older I get, the more I realize how much of his mercy I need in my life. And so this is a great passage of Scripture, so that when we are looking and seeing the mercy of God, that we discover that it is not just something that he does. You know, if you want to know, this is the summation of today's broadcast. God's truth and God's mercy are his nature. You know, you can talk to people and say, well, this is the person that I know. And they say, well, I knew him better than that. That wasn't his nature. That wasn't the way that he operated all of the time. So I want to ask you, could you use a fresh experience with God's mercy in your life so that you rediscover the nature of God? I tell people all the time, being a pastor is one of the only jobs in the world where everybody thinks that they can do your job as well as you can or better than you can, and it doesn't even matter if they're saved or not. Everybody's got an opinion. But don't forget about the nature of God. The enemy wants you to forget that Jesus has already identified Satan's nature. He's a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That he is a liar. He's the father of lies. And when he speaks lies, that's his native tongue. That's what he does best. So Jesus identifies the nature of the devil so that we don't have to be mystified by it. But don't forget about the impeccable, flawless nature of God. So let me read it to you one more time. But you, Lord, are, not was, not will be, but you are. You're Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are full of compassion. You are gracious. You're long-suffering. And you're abundant in mercy and truth. David goes on in verse number 16, and he says, God, would you give strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant? Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I've got great news for you on this wonderful Monday, and that is this: the nature of God is ready, willing, and able to be in full demonstration in your life today. Cry out to him for his mercy. Say, ask him to manifest his truth and his patience and give you strength today, and he will. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Banner over me is love. His banner.